he is. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Today we're going to talk about the Word of God. So turn to 2 Peter. There's tons of scriptures. This is awesome. God is so good. I like that Apostles' Creed. In 2 Timothy, it says that in the end times, men will not endure sound doctrine. If you do not endure sound doctrine, then you will be deceived and you will fall away. So doctrine, which is just teaching, is huge. It's what started the Reformation. It's what it does everything. You grow, that's how you grow. You grow in the knowledge and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you grow. The Bible is all about Jesus. It's not about how great you are, like David was sharing, David Cooper, about Samson. It's not about us. It's about God. God does whatever he wants. But that's neat. I'm glad he does that because he loves us. So he is able to love us, to make everything work together for our good. Isn't that amazing? Even if it takes a long time. Even if it takes 40 years, or even if it takes 50 years, even if it takes, I mean, David and Mary had a baby and they're in their 40s, and I had a baby when I was in my 50s. So you think you got it bad. No, it's not bad at all. Although he does have a lot of energy. So let's read this. I want to read this. This is really good. Okay, so just remember, I just told you that in the end times, it's always been this way. But especially now, people will not endure sound doctrine. I tell you, here's how people think. Even people that are Christians that read the Bible and stuff, they think, okay, it says this in the Bible, but these are my circumstances. So it must mean this, or, you know, and people think like that, and I know they do. So, but we live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, every word. So doctrine is huge, and that's how I think Jim did the Apostles' Creed. I say it literally every day. That's how I even begin my prayers sometimes. But I don't say it exactly like that. I say those words, but since I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit, like when it says, I believe in the Holy Ghost, then I pray in tongues. I believe in God the Father Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, and I just talk to God how awesome he is. Guys, just think of the wondrous things God has made. I just think about that, and I worship him and praise him. God, you are awesome. And I believe in Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost and all that. And then when I get to the part where he's in heaven, he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God, and I'm seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. I'm a new creation. Thank you, Jesus, that you did all that. You're my high priest. And then I just go into all kinds of stuff. So you can trick it up the way you want, as long as it's in the Bible. Now believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, and life everlasting. Amen. So I say that every day. I mean, I've been doing it for a long time now. But I love that, the Apostles' Creed, because I actually knew it when I was little, because I grew up a Catholic, so we had to memorize it. It was a little different. There's several different types. There's a Nicene Creed, and there's a few creeds, but I got my own. You can have your own, too. But it's good to say that. You know why? Because it reminds you what you believe. Every day, you have to believe in Jesus Christ. Yesterday wasn't good enough. Give us this day our daily bread. You have to have the word. You have to have your bread today. You can't live on yesterday's bread. It's already been used up and it's gone. You have to have a new life today. Every day to me, every day is a good day. Every day I rejoice. Every day I'm happy. Every day is a day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. I don't care if it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It doesn't matter what day it is. They're all the same. The Bible even says that. Some people regard every day alike. Some people will regard one day above another. But if you do that, regard it to the Lord. Like if you think Christmas is an awesome day, then regard it to the Lord. you think Resurrection Day is awesome, then do that. There's other people like me, I just think every day is awesome. And you do too, I mean, even people that believe that. But so every day to me is exactly alike. Okay, let me read this. This is in 2 Peter, the first chapter. I'm going to start in verse 12. Is this kind of weird, this microphone? David's gone. Gosh, it's hard to find good help these days. Okay, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them. Even though I know people get tired of hearing this stuff over and over again, but you got to. And be established in the present truth. Yet I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put away this tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, I'm going to die. Peter's getting ready to, be crucified upside down, or wherever he died. My decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables. We make known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, it came from heaven. This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. Talking about the man of transfiguration. And his voice, which came from heaven, we heard. They actually heard it with their ears when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Even in that. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shine in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. In other words, it means what it means. You can't just, interpret it yourself the way you want. You have to ask the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit, Jesus, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are all tied to this word. That's how you know them. You can't know them any other way. Prophecies will come and go. I've had tons and tons of prophecies, tons of words. But to me, this word is a more sure word of prophecy because I can read it every day. So actually, you are getting a prophecy every day. If you read your Bible every day, then you're getting a prophecy because it's the Scripture. It's real. It's alive. It's active. We have a more sure word of prophecy. It said to Hebrews that the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, divides between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So it's alive. To me, the Bible is alive and it's active because it's Jesus. Jesus is the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. And Jesus told his disciples, said, look, you guys are clean, clean through the Word. So it's himself. So when I read the Bible, I'm reading about Jesus. Even in the Old Testament, types and shadows, I'm always reading about Jesus. Samson, there's something in there. You just got to figure it out. You got to ask Jesus. That's what's neat about reading the Bible. You got to ask God, what does that mean? I don't even know what that, there's still some things about it. I'm like, God, I read it. I go, golly, Lord, what does that even mean? I mean, it sounds ridiculous. But everything in the Bible is contrary to your flesh. What you think, what you feel, what you think is totally, totally, totally worthless. It's what he thinks, what he tells you to feel, what he tells you to know. That's important. The rest of it, it will all perish. Everything in this world, what you can see, what you can feel, what you can touch, is all going to perish. Because it's not eternal. Only eternal things will be forever. And that's this Bible. So listen to this. This is very interesting. And then, we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well, that ye take heed, as to a light that shines in dark place until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not of old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So, the scriptures are not just written by men. They're written by the finger of God, by himself. God actually wrote these. I mean, men wrote it down, of course, because God uses people to do stuff. But he wrote it down so that we would have a more sure word of prophecy so that we can live by these things. Now listen to this. It even gets better than that. So we know we have a sure word of prophecy. And the same book here. Verse 3, according as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that have called you into glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Besides this, and then it talks about adding virtue and you add all these, it actually means filling out. You're filling out your faith. Because faith is not believing. Faith doesn't come that way. Faith comes by the word of God. You hear it. It comes through Jesus Christ. It's a gift. It's just a gift to you. A gift, a gift, a gift. God gave it to you. You don't have to work it up. You don't have to, oh God, if I could only believe. Remember when Jesus was going to heal somebody, sometimes they would say, God, help my unbelief. Because people don't, faith just comes by hearing. You hear something and you believe it. You don't know why you believe it. It's just, it was in the word of God. So I believe everything in the Word of God. And in Timothy, it also says that people have foolish and unlearned questions. Oh, I wonder if, you know, people wonder about the, like for instance, creation. People say, talk about the Big Bang theory, different theories, how the world was created and all that. But you just read Genesis and you can figure it out pretty easily, how it all happened and everything. And those are foolish questions because you weren't there. You'll never figure it out. You're not going to figure out how God created the hippopotamus or created Norman or whatever, an elephant or an alligator. You're not going to figure all that stuff out. I don't care how much science you put into it. You're not going to figure out all that stuff. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Just got to read it. If you believe it, you believe. If you don't, you don't. Nobody's going to convince you otherwise. You can't convince people about the Bible, you just have to believe it. Okay, so the first thing about the Bible, why is the Bible? Why do we have the Word of God? The first thing is to make you guilty. The law was written. The whole world may become guilty before God. That's the first thing that God does. In the morning when I read my Bible, the first thing I am, I discover that I'm guilty. That I'm not good, that I'm not going to make it, which is good. You know why? Because it humbles you. You have to be humbled. That's why there's affliction. David in Psalms 119 said, it is good that I have been afflicted so that I might trust in your word. So affliction is good. You need to be afflicted. Afflicted doesn't mean he's going to give you sickness and disease and all that. That's not what it means. It means you're going to be afflicted by the word because you're going to feel, when I read the Bible, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's not me. Who is that? Well, it's Jesus. That law that God wrote, I can't do it. Love God with all, remember when the scribe came to Jesus, as a matter of fact, this is the last question they ever asked Jesus. The last. It even says it in the Bible. The scribe was listening to him talking to the Pharisees and the other scribes, and he was kind of listening to it in the background, and he said, oh, I see this guy is smart. This Jesus guy is pretty smart. He's answering these guys really well. As a matter of fact, he's putting them to shame. So he asked Jesus, he goes, okay, I got to ask a question. So he asked this question. He said, God, what is the greatest commandment? Not the top of the top. And Jesus, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. So the scribe was pretty impressed. And he, that's actually what Jesus asked him in the end. And then he said, they saw that he asked, that Jesus answered intelligently. And Jesus told that guy, he goes, look, because of that, I think the guy was kind of neat because scribes were people that wrote down the law That's why they're called scribes. They wrote a lot. So they wrote down the law, and then they'd explain it to the people. And that's what they were. That's what that was kind of their job. And then the Pharisees were connected to them somehow, and the Sadducees. And then there was the Herodians. There was lawyers. Every group. The Herodians were more political, so every group of people hated Jesus in the end. Every group, including the Jews. Everybody. Because they conspired against him. It's in Psalms chapter 2. Why do the heathen rage and imagine a vain thing? They conspire together against the Lord Jesus and against his anointed, against us. Because they hated him, because he was perfect. Have you ever done that? I have. Jesus is perfect. Never thought that. I have. And you read the Bible and you think, oh yeah, God, that's great for you because you're in heaven and you're all comfortable and, you know, whatever. And I'm down here in the real world where it's thanks. Have you ever thought that? I know y'all have. I have. Yeah. Because you're being afflicted because of the word. Because you can't do it and you're frustrated. Golly, Lord. Love God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love my neighbor as myself. That's impossible. Be perfect even as I'm perfect. So there's got to be a better way. So the second thing the word does is it, and this is a work of the Holy Spirit, and this is Jesus, he redeems us. Even though we didn't keep the law, even though we didn't do good, even though I'm frustrated and afflicted because I can't do this thing, I mean, there's so much. I mean, just read all the things that Jesus said about loving the poor and do good to your enemies and all these wonderful things that I could never do. It's frustrating, especially as a Catholic. You know, you grow up, you got to do it. And that's what I thought. When I became a Christian, I read all those things that Jesus did and what he said to do. I was totally frustrated. I mean, frustrated, because I knew I had to do it. I mean, this is my thinking. I got to do that because the Bible says, give all your stuff away and come follow me. Golly, Lord, I don't have a lot of stuff, but I'll do it. So I gave all my stuff away. Stupid. It was foolish, I know. But I was trying to be, you know, super Christian or whatever. So anyway, so all the things that are written about, so I didn't realize yet, even though I knew I was born again and all that, I didn't realize yet that this sanctification thing was the same as being saved. It was by faith. By grace through faith. Not of myself, it's a gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. So I was like, man, I'm not even going to be able to boast. So when I gave all my stuff away, I couldn't even boast in it, which made it even worse, which made me hate God even more. So the Bible's, you're not going to ever do it. You're not going to keep it. It's just so frustrating. So good thing. But we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace on earth, good with men. Jesus loves us just the way we are. That's good news. He redeemed us just for nothing, just for free. We didn't do anything. We didn't say anything. I didn't light a candle. I didn't have to say Hail Mary. I didn't have to say Our Father. I didn't have to do the Apostles' Creed. I didn't have to, you know, love anybody or do anything. I just believed. I said, God, I believe that. Because I read it in the Word. You said, I mean, whatever little I knew, man, Jesus is awesome. He died for my sins. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, did all that, and he did it for me. And you just can't believe it. It's just too good to be true. It gets even better than this. But this is what the Word does. It afflicts you, makes you guilty. Then you find redemption in the Bible. You're like, remember like Martin Luther, when he found out, when he was reading Galatians and the book of Romans and Psalms, you know, he was reading, he's going, oh my gosh. If the Lord marked iniquities, then who would stand? Who? Jesus. He would stand, but he's the only one. Because he's God. He's the Son of God. He was the Son of Man. And Jesus even learned obedience by the things he suffered, So what makes us think we're not going to suffer? But that's the thing that suffers you. It's not the other things like you think, like circumstances and all. Those do, but really what humbles us is that we can't do the word. Some people don't even read the Bible. Hope nobody in this room is like that, but they don't read it because it's too hard. Why would you want to read? If you were love this world, in love with this world, why would you want to read your Bible? Because all that's in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and boast of pride of life. If you're into all that, then you won't read your Bible because it's going to convict you. But that's what God wants. It's going to convict you. Then you're going to be redeemed. This is talking about your everyday life. Then you're redeemed. God, thank you, Lord, that I'm not under a law. I'm not under any pressure. Whew, thank you. You are my advocate. You are my high priest. You did everything for me. Thank you. Literally, Jesus has done everything for you already. Already. It's already done. And then you're just walking in his works, his grace, his mercy. So I discovered in the Bible, not in the world, not in my thinking, I discovered mercy, that God was merciful and kind. He was loving. He was all those things. And he wanted me to rest. So I entered into his rest right away. I'm talking about my daily walk. I'm not talking about this as a time frame. It is a time frame, but it's also my daily walk. So then I enter into a rest. I'm peaceful. I'm joyful. God, you did it all. Thank you. Because I was worried there for a minute because I just read in the Bible, you know, I had to love my wife as Christ loved the church. That scared me. I was like, oh my gosh, how can I do that, Lord? It should. It afflicts you. It's afflicting my soul because I can't do it. I can't keep up with the guy. It's like if you were running a marathon. I used to run marathons all the time. And somebody's heading, you wanted to, you'd pick out a guy sometimes, or I'd always pick out the girls. I'm so evil. Because I thought, guys, I should at least be able to beat the girls. Some of those girls were pretty good runners. It was hard. So I was being afflicted because I had to run harder. It's kind of like that. Kinda, you see the goal. You see the the goal you're getting, you want to be. It's like if you have a New Year's resolution and you know you're going to fail right off the bat. I don't make them at all. I don't even think about it. But some people make New Year's resolutions. And then 2 days later, they're like, wow, never even got the thing started. I was going to lose 10 pounds, and I ate so much Thanksgiving Day that I gained 10 pounds. So you're already, now you got to lose 20 pounds. It's not going to win. Right? So it's kind of like that. It's kind of like we look at the Bible and we see how perfect Jesus was and how even Paul and Peter and all them, you know, all the epistles, you read the epistles, like, you have to be perfect. That's why it's good to read the Old Testament, because those guys were a bunch of sinners. You know, except for maybe Daniel. I don't know. There's a few good guys, but anyway. So we can relate to that. So anyway, so we're forgiven. Everybody say, I'm forgiven of all my sin, all of it, even your secret sins. Every sin was nailed to the cross. Every sin was taken away from you. God gave you all his righteousness, and then he took all your sin. Well, man, I'm peaceful now. I'm joyful. I just remembered that because I forgot when I was sleeping. I had a bad dream or something happened. I forgot to drink my coffee or something happened. So I forgot. So now I'm reminded, okay, God, I just read your word and I know I'm guilty. I mean, I'm gonna agree with my adversary on my way, like Jesus said to do. I just agree right away. I'm like, God, you're right. I didn't do it right. I hated my wife or whatever. I did the sin. Forgive me. So God's good. He redeems that. So now this is something else the word does. Now that we got to, because how many knows that redemption or the atonement, there's a lot to it. In 1 John 1:9, it says that He forgives, we come to God, and then he forgives us all of our sins. All. And then he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Ah. That's different than just being forgiven. That's different than just, I'm forgiven, I'm just going to keep sinning. No, he cleanses me from all unrighteousness. So that's his job. And I don't want Jesus not to have a job, because he doesn't want to stand in the unemployment line or get workman's comp or something. So Jesus has a job to do, and I want him to do it. It's okay, Jesus, you've forgiven me all my sin. So now I have to actually love my wife. So how's that going to happen? It'd be a miracle. Exactly. It's going to be a gift. It's going to be something I can't do, but he can do it. So he's killing me. He's killing my flesh. The word of God is afflicting me so that I can just do it by faith. Okay, God, I'm just doing it by faith, though. I'm not making any promises. You're the promise keeper. You're the one that's making all the promises, not me. If you made a promise, God, I promise I'm going to love my wife.
Yeah, I did that.
I promise.
I'm sorry.
I'll change. But you will never, ever, ever change. That's one thing that I think Leah's disappointed in me the most, is I've never changed. I have. But this is God. But, you know, it's, you can't expect people ever to change. If your expectation, I'll be happy when my wife is better, or if she loses weight, or she's a better person or something, then you'll never be happy. Never. Never, 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 never. I'm going to be happy when Christmas time gets here. I'm going to be happy when my kids are, you know, all serving the Lord and they're all perfect and happy and wonderful. Then you're not going to be happy. I'm going to be happy when, you know, when all the liberals, you know, whatever, or the political thing change. It'll never change. It'll always be the same. The world will never, ever change till Jesus comes back. Never. There'll always be the wicked. There's always going to be problems. There's always going to be disease. It is everything. You always have the poor. You're not ever going to solve that problem. You don't solve anything. It's just pretend. We live in a pretend world. It's just all, it's all a lie. Let God be true and every man a liar. The whole world is a lie. I'm just telling you right now, the whole thing. It is. Even the Bible says it is. Only God is true. Let God be true and every man a liar. All that's in the world, all that's in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, boast of pride of life. So just go ahead and be happy. Go ahead and rejoice. And that's part of God's cleansing. I'm going to rejoice even though I haven't seen it yet. Even though I haven't seen myself love my wife as Christ loved the church or love my neighbor as myself, I'm going to rejoice anyway and I'm going to say it. And boldly. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Father, I love you with all my heart, all my mind, all my soul, everything that's within me. I love you, Jesus. And I love my neighbor as myself. If you pray that, then you will be afflicted. But God just might do it. And he will. Because he does it. I don't know how he does it. But he does it. He will change your mind. He will change your emotions. And he will... because he'll replace them, actually. Because Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus will come through. Because that's really what you want. You don't think you want that, because then you won't have a life. If I let Jesus be Lord of my life and cleanse me from all unrighteousness, I'm not going to have any fun. Or I'm going to I'm not going to be happy. Because he might ask me to give up something. I used to think this. I know you all did too. I still do. If I'm asked Jesus to, whatever it takes, Lord, cleanse me, do whatever it takes. I want to be the best Christian, the best disciple. Nah, I just want to go all out for you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. I want to do that. But people are scared to pray like that because then God might actually do it. And then you might not have, you know, some things you thought were awesome. But I'm learning when I get older, it might not even because God's sanctified, it might just because I'm getting old and tired. But I know those things don't have the same, you know, like TV and sports and stuff like that. Just they just don't have the same, I don't know, something, whatever you, word you want to use, appeal, yeah. I guess appeal is a good word. And that I'd rather just read my Bible because I'm getting, you know, we're all, every day we get closer and closer to eternity, whether you think that or not. If you're young, then you think, well, I got time. But that time goes really fast. But Jesus is coming back. Like it said in that creed we just read, he's coming back. As a matter of fact, these are the last days. And the only reason why I know that is because the Bible says they are. Now, whether they're the last of the last of the last, I don't know. But Jesus died in the last time, it says in the Bible. He came at the end of the age, or the end of time, to die for us. So even Jesus lived in the last time. And a lot of, if you read the epistles, you think, man, these guys thought Jesus was coming back like right then, you know. But it's been a long time. And I just saw this morning so clearly. The Bible says that God is patient towards us. He's not one that any man perish, but all come to repentance. That's one of the reasons why. You know, he's also patient towards you. Did you know that? You can read it. It's in the Bible. I can't remember where I was reading this morning, but I was reading it, and I was just amazed how patient God is with me. When I was in the world, you know, when I was in high school and college and all that, I should have died so many times. And I was a mess. I mean, it was foolish, just a fool. And I made it. Why? Because God was patient. He was going, oh yeah, that one's mine. He's gonna get it together one of these days. I'm gonna have to come down and just, you know, slap him around a little bit and get him straightened out. But he was patient towards me. He had to wait till I ran out of all my juices. And when I ran out of all my awesomeness and all my juices, then I was ready. But I didn't know that. I didn't know nothing about it. It was God. I was doing that. I look back on it, I'm thinking, man, God, you are so patient. I would have just killed me. I would have just wiped me out. And we think that, too, about a lot of people. We think, man, God, why don't you just kill them? They're worthless. And we think that. But God is patient. He just keeps on letting things go. Remember Jim told the story, well, it's in the Bible, about Cain and Abel? He put a mark on Cain, and he gave the guy more time. And those guys lived a long time back then, too, so he had a lot more time than we got. Yeah. He had like 800 years or something. Those guys lived a long time back then. So God was patient. But then later on, remember when Noah, you know, the flood, all that happened. He goes, look, God goes, man, I'm not going to strive with him anymore. His days are going to be 120 years. That's all you got, 120 years. So you better get your act together. That's not what he did. But anyway, God's patient. He keeps the thing going and going and going. That's why it's been so long since, and I know a lot of us, and I am too, we all are hoping, and we know that's our hope and that's our joy that Jesus is coming back. But God's going to postpone that until everything is perfect the way he wants it. And then he'll come back. But he has to put all these things in order. And you don't have to guess or figure it out. Just be ready all the time. If you knew what hour he was coming, and remember Jesus told the parable about the guy, you know, broke into the guy's house and stole all of his goods and all that. You don't know when he's coming. He's coming as a thief in the night. You don't know. He might come tonight. I would be ready, and I'm always ready. Why? Because I trust in the Lord, not because I'm trusting how good I am or how great I am, because I'm not at all. I'm not even, you know, I'm nothing. But Jesus, because I read his word, then his word gets in you, and then all these things happen in your life. These four things. Guilty, you're redeemed, you are cleansed from all unrighteousness, all. That means without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And then that way you'll be a bride, and you won't make excuses. Well, that's what the kingdom of God's like. People, the guy comes out and says, hey, there's a wedding. The bridegroom has made a feast. It's going to be awesome. Well, I can't come. You know, I got a crop brewing right now. I got a career. you know, I got out of this, I got out of that, and we all make excuses why we can't, you know, come to the wedding or come to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's because we're too busy. So you have to just make time. I don't know how you do it. I know everybody is busy because you have kids stuff, you have work, you have all this, you have all the things that keep us busy, like Mary and Martha. Martha, you're so, but Mary chose the better thing. She chose the Word of God. She actually chose the Word, because what was Jesus doing? He was teaching. So she sat at his feet. But Mary was cumbered about with many things, you know, probably getting the food ready, making sure the decorations were just right, bringing out the wine, whatever they were doing. And she was mad. She was ticked off. And you can imagine, Louise, if you and Dolores were getting something ready and you sat down and started reading your Bible and she was working like a dog. I think Dolores would be ticked off. No, just kidding. But those are the things that we do. We think, golly, so-and-so just doesn't do anything, and God just blesses them. God, I can't stand that. And here I am working on, you know, paying my tithe, witnessing, doing all these great and wonderful works, and they're just getting in for nothing, and they get ticked off. Like the guys that worked all day, you know, that's what, you know, and then some guy comes in, he's like, awesome. And you're like, oh man, this guy just got saved like a day ago. And he's already awesome. It took me 35 years to get this way. And I'm not even near as good as he is. You ever think, this guy's on TV. He just got, you know, because he was a celebrity or something. He got all the awesomeness. And God used him. And you're like, man, I am worthless. But anyway, I think about these things. But God is good. He's always awesome. Okay, so the last thing is power. You have a future. You have a hope. And Jesus is going to live his life through you. Because it's by promise. It's all promise. All redemption. All the Word of God. That's why you read it. Because you're figuring out what the promises are. You want to know exactly the doctrine. Jesus' teaching. You want to know exactly what Jesus taught, exactly what this thing's all about. Because it reads sometimes like, you be good, you do it, you better straighten up and fly right, or you're going to be in trouble. Have you ever said that to your kids? I have said that to Titus lots of times. But that's not how it is. God's saying, come to me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. All the elements of this world are killing you. You know what the elements of the world are in the Bible? It's in Galatians, I believe. It's the law. You put yourself under some kind of stress, law, some kind of burden that you have to carry. I'm just carrying a burden for Jesus. But see, that's wrong. Cast all your cares. I do that all the time. Even during the day, as soon as I get a call, you got to get over right now. This is happening, blah, 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 blah. I don't hang the phone up. I guess I press the button, whatever. The cell phones now. I told Titus the other day, goes, people had their phones were tied to the wall. And he just started cracking up. He couldn't understand that. You had to actually go to the wall. We did, and you had to. Remember that? You had to dial the phone. Anyway, I totally lost my point, but what was I talking about? Jesus. The what?
Jesus,
yeah. Anyway, Jesus, yeah, Jesus. So Jesus is not going to get put under any pressure under you or anything. And that's what irks us. That's what kills your flesh, is that you cannot do anything and he does it all. And it's a scary place to be. It's fear. There's fear. The fear of the Lord. Okay, I remember when this happened a few years ago to me, when I really got, I said, Lord, man, if I don't help out a little bit or something, then I'm going to sin. I'm just going to. I'm not going to do it. If I do it your way, I'm sinning all over the place. I'm not going to make it. But the amazing thing is you really don't. You think you're going to, but you're like, you're so in love with Jesus and you're so, you know, and he's killing your flesh and you're just going through the gospel every day. Then somehow sin doesn't have dominion over you. Doesn't mean you won't sin. Everybody sins, but it just means it won't control your life anymore. If you're into pornography, it doesn't control your life anymore. You're into anger, doesn't control your life. Doesn't mean you won't ever be angry. This means that you will. It won't have dominion over your life. It won't rule your life. Jesus is Lord of your life, not sin. Say it. Jesus is Lord of my life, not sin. Sin will not have dominion over you, for you're not under law, but under grace. Grace has mercy, plenty. Every morning I go for mercy first. I don't care what I did. I'm always going for mercy because I need it. I find mercy and grace to help in time of need. And when do I need Jesus? In the morning when I wake up. I already know. When I wake up, that's the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, but I always know there's going to be problems. Before I even get out of the house, there's going to be all kinds of problems. You know, Leah's dad might fall down, and then there'll be this problem, and Titus will have a problem, and Shannon will have a problem, and I'll have a problem. I mean, you're not even going to get out of the house before you have problems. So I'm going to wake up early, real early. Two or three hours before everybody else does, because I know I'm going to need help, because I need them, because otherwise I'll sin. I'll just walk in darkness. But it's great to come to the light. And the reason why you don't come to the light is because your deeds are evil, and you don't want them to be exposed. But it's great to have them exposed. Don't even try to fix it. I always come to Jesus exactly the way I am, boldly to the throne of grace, because the Bible says to. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the Word of God. It says, come boldly to the throne of grace. I'm coming exactly like I am. How else are you going to come? You're going to clean yourself up first or put on a tie or something. It's not going to help. You can't clean yourself up. You just come boldly to the throne of grace. Even if you just sinned. And during the day when I sin, I just go right to Jesus. I'm right there. Yeah, I can be driving down the road. Oh, man, that's an evil thought. Wicked, evil, and I just call things the way they are. I hated that person because they cut me off, or I'm not too worried about driving stuff. That doesn't bother me that much. What's something that ticks me off? I can't think right now, but something does, because I'm ticked off sometimes. There's something that ticks me off, but I don't know what it is right now. When people despise you or use you, or you hear somebody else being unjust to somebody else, and you get mad. Or you have to just forgive everybody, love everybody, and all that kind of stuff. And it's just too much. So we always need to always come boldly to the throne of grace. Throne of grace is wherever the throne of grace is. It's right there, wherever you're at. It's in your mouth. It's even in your mouth. It's right there. That's where it's at. You say it. You say the word, you write it down, you hear it, you read it, you look at it. You get all your senses involved when you read the Bible. At least I do. So I read it out loud. Sometimes I'll even write it, copy it down, but I'll read it out loud because it's just good to do it that way, because then you hear it. Faith comes by hearing by the word. So I read it out loud, I look at it, I write it down. Sometimes I listen to music that's, you know, scripture music and stuff like that. And it's good because then the Word of God dwells in you richly, and it will neither make you barren nor unfruitful, says in Peter, in the things of God. So you'll be godly in this life and in the life to come. It's not just for this life. It's for the life to come. I don't know what that means. Somehow when we get to heaven, maybe, I don't know. We might know a couple of scriptures, and we'll be able to quote some to Jesus, and that would be pretty awesome, wouldn't it? Jesus, I memorized one scripture. It's awesome. And he'll go, hey, well done, my good and faithful servant. At least you remember one scripture. Okay, so God is good. Let me read a couple more scriptures, and we'll quit. But just remember, the Word of God makes you guilty, which is not the end of the matter. That's just the beginning of the matter. Guilty, redeemed, cleansed or washed. Cleansed, the Word of God cleanses you. That's even, it's the washing of the water of the Word. It even says that in the Bible. So the Word washes you clean. You're being afflicted because you're guilty. So you're being afflicted, being redeemed. Ah, Jesus loves me, saves me. And then he's empowering you. All the power comes from the Word. The Word of God is quick, alive, and powerful. It's powerful. So that it actually gives you, it's Jesus. Now that's all I'm talking about is Jesus. The Word of God is just Jesus. He's the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. So this is Jesus' work. It's all his work. It's no work you do. You're just believing it. You're just reading it. You don't have to even believe it. Just read it. You believe, sometimes you read the Bible, you don't believe it. Just because you're in the flesh. That doesn't matter. God doesn't care. Just keep reading it. One day you'll see it. If you believe, you'll see it. If you have faith, you'll see it. In your life, before Jesus comes back, you'll see it. In your life and the life of others, you'll see that you have changed. You'll see that Jesus is living in you and through you, and that you actually love your wife, you actually love your husband, you actually love people, your enemies. You're not anxious, you're not fearful. And you're just at total peace all the time because Jesus is taking care of everything. But you have to give up this world. You have to give up your life. You have to lose your life. That's where you lose your life. And this word kills it. Okay, so we read Peter's Hebrews and Timothy 3:16 says all Scripture is given by God or inspired by God and it's profitable. And it lists all the things it's promised for. It's for reproof, rebuke, instructions in righteousness, so the man of God might be thoroughly equipped, talking about you and me, so he might be thoroughly equipped to do for everything, for the work of the ministry, for, and everybody, by the way, has a ministry. If you're a wife, that's a ministry. If you're a husband, that's a ministry. If you're alive, you have a ministry. So everybody has some kind of ministry. Sometimes we don't walk in it, but we do have a ministry. So everybody has one. Okay. So I was reading this about Jesus saying that we were cleansed through the Word, and I was just thinking this morning about how, you know, like for instance, coming to church. How important the spoken word is, because it encourages us. And it even as you see the day approaching, it says in the Bible that we should meet together as often as we can with a brother. Like last night, I went to Larry's house. So I always want to meet. And we have house church, and we have all these things going on. It's good to meet together because it's encouraging to see people face to face, not on Facebook or Instagram, whatever else things are called, all kinds of stuff people can communicate with now. Which, by the way, sometimes I think it's just so people can send easier. Anyway. But anyway, we have all those things, but to meet face to face, to come together, to hear the Word, hear testimonies, sing, worship God, sing, hear the Word of God, all those things are encouraging. Every time I come to church, every time, without fail, I'm always encouraged. When David spoke about, he gave his testimony about his situation with his wife and the kid, Gabby and all that. That was awesome. I was encouraged. You know, Monday nights, I'm always encouraged. We go to Pastor Jim's house, and then Wednesdays. And I mean, all the time I'm encouraged. It's just good to see people, to see them face to face, to shake their hand, hug them, love on people, and be encouraged to one another. It's good. Because you're always here for a reason. It's to know Jesus. And everybody else is here to know that too. And so if we're all going to that same direction, then we have fellowship with one another. Fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Fellowship. All fellowship is We have fellowship with the Father, first of all, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit, and then we have fellowship with one another. And that's just the way it works. You can't have true fellowship without Jesus, without God, the Father, without the Holy Spirit. Those are the guys that we're having fellowship with and around. Where two or three to gather in my name, there I am in the midst. Jesus is right there. So be encouraged today that the Word of God is changing you, and God is patient. You just can read it and study it. Don't ever neglect the Word of God and the gift that God's given you. That's one of the gifts God's given you, is your Bible. It's just a plain old written word. It's in all the prophecy you need. As a matter of fact, I was thinking this morning, if somebody prophesies, like prophesies, and it's not doesn't agree with the Bible, then that's how I check it. You can check stuff. Even what Jim says and what I say, what Jeff says, what David says, all those things that people say about the Bible and about other people, you can always look in the Bible and see if it's true or not. And if it is, then it's awesome. If it's not, then you can, I don't know what you can do. Just go to the brother or whatever. But the Word of God is paramount, even now. Because doctrine is very, very important. It's the thing that changes your life, because it's the truth. The truth sets you free. Nothing else. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in Corinthians chapter 13, it says, even love rejoices in the truth. Love rejoices in the truth. My kids, I love my kids, but sometimes I got to tell them the truth. This is the way things are. So you're sinning. You know, you have to speak truth in love. But that's what love is. Love always rejoices in the truth, always. So it's better to know the truth and then worry about the love will come. If you're walking in truth, love will come. If you're walking in truth, love will come. Because God will kill you and he will work that all out for you. Right? So it's good to die. It's good to be afflicted. Okay, that's it. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the word of God that's quick and powerful, that it's sharp, and it's like a two-edged sword, and it cuts like a surgeon. Perfect. It cuts out all the cancer, all the crud that's in our soul, so that we can serve you, God, with joy and gladness. And that's all. The only reason why you do that is because you know sin will never, ever, 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 ever make us happy. It will never lead to life. It will never give us joy unspeakable and full of glory. That only comes from Jesus, that he forgives us of all of our sin, all of it, and cleanses us from all unrighteousness, even the sin we don't even know about. And we thank you, Father, that you do that. And I pray that everyone here would have joy unspeakable, that they would have peace that passes all understanding. And Lord God, that you would cleanse all of us, from all of our sins, so we would walk before you, God, just unbelievably happy and joyful every day, every day, every day, Lord, that we'd read your word, because your word has life. Your word gives us life. It tells us everything we need to know about Jesus in this life, how he loves us, how he's forgiven us, how he died for us, how he has done everything for us, everything, redeemed us, sanctified us, and he's coming back to marry us. Man, what a awesome. Those are great, great and precious promises. Great and precious promises. So being live godly in this life and also the life to come. And so, Father, we thank you for these things. We love you. We praise you, Lord. That I just pray for everyone here, Lord, that they would be healed of all infirmities. Lord God, that they would be, that the devil is defeated in Jesus' name. He has nothing in us, nothing. And you promised, God, that the devil could not hurt us, so I don't believe he can. Because you said that. So I thank you for it, and I thank you that you're just helping us. And we just humble ourselves to you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Many will see, and they